Good morning. Oh, afternoon, is it? Or, well, not quite. Shall we speak to the Lord? Father and our God, we do thank you for the time spent in your presence. Truly, O Lord, it's a privilege where we can express our praise and our thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. We thank, O Father, for salvation, so costly. O Father, we do praise your name. We thank you. We do pray, Father, as we go to this portion of the meeting, O God, where we can minister your word, O Father, to the hearts of saints, including myself. We pray, O Father, that you might lead me with your spirit, O Father. And we pray that whatsoever is said and done will bring honor to your name. For Christ's sake, amen. Can we turn our Bibles? Second Peter chapter 3, and we'll read from verses 3 to 12. In fact, we'll start from verse 1 to 12. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. But also, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and around, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed them from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. The apostle Peter shares with us the importance of knowing Christ as your personal savior. And the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is highlighted here. And the second coming is one of the most important doctrines in Scripture. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul, speaking to believers, called it the believer's blessed hope. And we espouse and look forward to that day because the Lord will bring that hope into a reality. Now, we'd like to look a little bit about the second coming of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control and will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Let us look at some of the characteristics of the second coming of the Lord. And let us also consider God's purpose for it. The signs that will precede it, whether it be imminent and the application of them. Now, the characteristics of the second coming. The second coming will be sudden, and it will happen on an hour when no man will expect. If you look in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, Christ described it as coming like a lightning from the sky. He says, for just as lightning comes from the east to the west, so is the coming of the Son of Man shall be. His coming is also compared to a thief in the night, which demonstrates just how people will be unprepared for it. Revelation 15, verse 15 says, Christ said, look, I come like a thief. No one usually knows the hour that a thief comes into your house. Yes, it will be surprising. Matthew 24, verse 44 tells us another portion that says that, but as for that day or hour, no one knows it. Watch out, stay alert, for you do not know when the time will come. No one knows the hour of the coming of the Son of Man except the Father. In fact, this surprised me a great deal. And you know why. Only the Father knows it. And when the time comes, he'll give the message to the Son and he'll execute it. His coming will be visible and dramatic. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 declares, look, he's returning with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. This will certainly come to pass. Amen. Also, if you look at Matthew 4, verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man arriving on clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. People will then mourn because they never repented of their sins. They lived a life not recognizing his lordship. Only judgment awaits. Yes, when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, angels said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand there watching? The same Jesus Christ who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in like fashion. Jesus ascended in a glorified body, and he will return in the same way. Yes, the scripture tells us that his feet will be planted on the Mount of Olives. And we look at Zechariah 14, verse 4. We see that. And also we see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. But what is his purpose in his returning? One, he will deliver Israel from the Antichrist and the nations trying to destroy her. He will regather Israel and renew his covenant with her. Zechariah 14, verse 2 tells us that he will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to wage war, and the city will be taken, its houses plundered, etc. Then half the city will go into exile, but the remainder will not. Yes, the Israelites were previously dispersed. And we can describe how God will gather them from all the nations and give them their land, a new heart, where they can worship him. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17 to 20, the Israelites previously dispersed, describe how God will gather the Israelites from all the nations and give them their land in a new heart, a new spirit, and they will walk in these statutes. Now, Israel will be saved. The deliverer will come from Zion, as mentioned, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Yes, Christ will judge Satan by having him temporarily bound in an abyss for 1,000 years. We see this in Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, holding in his hand the key of the abyss and a huge chain. He seized the dragon and the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and tied them up for 1,000 years. The angel then threw him into the abyss and locked the seal and sealed it, that he should not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were finished. After these things, he shall be loosed for a little season. Brothers and sisters, things are going to happen. And we, however, can be spared from it if we know Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Things, as I said, will happen, but we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I thank God most of us here do. But I'd like to ask you, is there anyone here that does not know him as our personal Savior? Because some of what will happen to Satan and others here will happen to you. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Yes, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 40, could we turn to that? 40 to 42. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will separate one from another, like a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. And he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the lake of fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not receive me as a guest. Naked, you did not clothe me." Yes, when Christ returns, he will reward the righteous living on earth. But we know for the unrighteous, it won't be the same. Those who have been faithful to Christ in Christ's absence will be rewarded. In a paradoxical reverse and unexpected events, Christ will serve his servants first. And this I learned too when he returns. And this will motivate us to be faithful when Christ is gone. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust as to forget your work of love you have demonstrated for his name in having saved and continuing to serve the saints." Now, there are some other things that we look at. One of them can be signs. In scripture, signs are actually given to help us to be prepared for Christ's coming. Christ, in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, describes the tribulation period which will occur on the earth before his coming. And there will be great rise of false prophets and messiahs. Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5 says, "Watch out, lest anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.' If anyone says they are the Christ, do not believe him, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise." There's also going to be great distress on the earth. There'll be famine and earthquakes. And this is described very well in Matthew 24, verse 6 to 7. But there'll also be great persecution of Christians. Yes, believers in Christ. In Matthew 24, verse 9, we see that. And Christ speaking said, "Then they will hand you over to be persecuted, will kill you, and you will be hated, by all nations. Now, for those who are saved on this earth, if you are saved, truly saved, when the Lord comes, when the rapture takes place, you won't be here. But it's important to remember that you'll also have people who may get saved during that period, and they will be subject to the treatment that we see here. Now, we have also from Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13, Christ said, and because lawlessness will increase so much that the love of many will grow cold, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. So there will be people who remain faithful despite the challenges, despite the hardships. In Matthew 24, verse 15 and 16, Christ said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. Now, who is the abomination of desolation? It's the Antichrist. And when you see this happen at that time, he said, let the reader understand that those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. The abomination of desolation refers to when the Antichrist breaks his seven-year peace covenant with the Jews and places an idol of himself in the Jewish temple and commands everyone to worship. This is when things have really gone bad. Now, you see, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with them for a period of time. And he will break that agreement and ask them to worship him. But this will be the end, as we can see. Revelation 13, verse 14 says that there will be signs in heaven. The sun will be darkened and the moon reflected the light. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Now, is the Lord's coming imminent or impending? Now, the New Testament challenge is for all to be ready, because the Son of Man can come at an hour that you least expect. Now, let's remember the scene. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. On the earth, the great tribulation is taking place. And on the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven is preparing to come. So what do the people here do? You see, thank God we won't be here. We'll be in glory with the Lord. But it then says, stay alert because you do not know the day or the hour, in Matthew 24, verse 44. So we are at, what has to be done is that they must continue to live righteously. Philippians 4, verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. Yes, it's going to be a difficult time on earth at that time. But please remember that there is hope because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Now, there are some applications to this. The imminent return of Christ, we must faithfully use our gifts to serve God and others. And we are speaking about now. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 19 to 23, we have the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his good to them. And we know the story. He gave one 5 talents, another 2, another 1 talent. Each of them made profit 100%, except the one who had only 1 talent. Because Christ is returning soon, we must regularly gather with believers to worship, pray, and partake in the Lord's Supper to honor God and to encourage one another to be faithful in these last days. And we went through that this morning, as we do on the Lord's Day. We consider that each time we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, in sincerity, we show the Lord's death until he comes. That's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Now, because Christ is returning soon, we must strive to be holy by getting rid of sin in our lives. And this is one of the kernel concerns we have with us, because we are in the flesh. And being in the flesh, we are subject to temptations. And oftentimes we yield to the temptations. And it's important that we submit our lives to the Lord that we stay constantly in prayer, asking him that if we have failed, Lord, please forgive me. And also, the importance is that he is able to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Titus chapter 2, I'll go on a little further. Beloved, we are God's children now, and that we will be, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The believer will see that they live a life of purity, and we can't see it with our own flesh, but we can with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And our walk can be upright, our walk can be straight, our walk can be pleasing in the eyes of God if we trust, if we obey, if we pray. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, as we wait for the happy fulfillment of our hope in the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us, loved me, and gave himself for me to set us free from every kind of lawlessness and to purify unto himself a people of his own who are eager to do good. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, and not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, because Christ is returning soon, we must eagerly and patiently long for it. I have fought the good fight, one said. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Brothers and sisters, friends, let me ask you, are we ready for this? Where do we stand? As Christians, is our walk upright to the Lord? Is it pleasing to him? Or is he disappointed with some aspects of our life? It's important that we get things straight and get things right with the Lord. It's important that we have no unconfessed sins. It's important that we walk uprightly, because we do not know how long is left for the Lord to come. At the same time, there are some who are not saved. And can I ask you here, is there anyone here that know Christ as Savior? I'd ask you that we'd be happy to stay back and show you how you can know Christ can be your Savior right away if you, in your hearts, confess him, your sins to him, and ask him to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This can be yours today. I remember years ago when that experience was mine. Many of us here remember when that experience was ours, but that can be yours today. Would you like to know Christ can be your Savior? Would you like to be assured of eternity with the Lord? Would you like to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is real? It can be. It can be. Shall we pray? Father and our God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for everyone gathered here. We think of those, Father, who knows Christ as their personal Savior. We think of those, O Father, who do not. Lord, we do pray that we, O Father, can be used by your Spirit to touch the hearts of those who are not saved. We pray, O Father, that we will not stop, that we'll continue to do so, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the Sunday school, or any opportunity that we get. Strengthen us, O Father. Give us a drive to go ahead and do this, because we know that the time is going fast. We ask your blessings, for Christ's sake. Amen.